This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour number two as we get rolling along. Good Tuesday to you. All right, so we've been talking to the Atlanta Falcons today. They are the team that we're focusing on in our NFC South preview this week. That means we got the New Orleans Saints and the Carolina Panthers coming up. The New Orleans Saints with Jameis Winston as their quarterback, new head coach. But the Carolina Panthers are in a quarterback battle because they went out and got Baker Mayfield, and now he's battling with Sam Darnold, and they are really liking what Baker Mayfield is doing in camp. Nevertheless, we don't know when Matt Rhule is going to make that announcement. They like to get a couple of preseason games under their belt before they do that, but you never know. They might just come out and say, you know what, why wait? He's the starter. He's showed us a lot. A lot of times when teams struggle during training camp, when there's a player that doesn't play particularly well in training camp, there's a lot of alarms that go off, and there's a lot of big, some people are like, uh-oh, what does this mean? You know, if the certain player is struggling or the offense is struggling, you kind of want to make it a big deal because after all, it's training camp, right? Even though we got a lot of the season to play and things can just sort of work itself out and teams have bad practices all the time. However, what's going on in New England seems to be very, very, very concerning. A lot of reports coming out of Patriots camp that the offense is struggling badly. And normally I wouldn't care at all if the Patriots offense was struggling because they had Tom Brady for all of those years. So I always knew that any report in August of Brady and the offense really being lousy on a Tuesday really didn't matter, right? That we weren't going to take that seriously. But this year, maybe there is something to be worried about. Maybe there is something to be concerned about. Remember, this is an offense now that's being led by second-year quarterback Mac Jones for an offense that doesn't have an official coordinator because Josh McDaniels is now the head coach in Las Vegas, and Bill Belichick didn't elevate anybody into that role. He said, no, we're not going to have the titles. Matt Patricia is the offensive line coach, and he's kind of just working things out. Bill Belichick is doing that as well. There's other voices that are going to be around, and yesterday was one of the worst days the team has had in training camp so far. A lot of sacks, which is training camp, like I got to the quarterback and didn't really touch him. Incompletions, interceptions, false starts. Defense was just way, way better than the offense in the 11-on-11 drills that occurred yesterday. Concern, normally I don't give this any real time of day, but for the Patriots, this might matter if they don't get a real solid voice behind the offense.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
I keep telling you this over and over again, but I really did miss the good, the bad, and the dumb while you were away. I would see stories and go, that would really make a good. Or a bad, or a dumb. I'm glad you're back with this. By the way, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is brought to you by Verizon with their newest unlimited plan. Everyone's welcome. Introducing Welcome Unlimited from Verizon for just $30 a line per month for four lines with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Their best priced unlimited plan ever. For real, $30 a line for the whole family. The network you want, the price you love. Switch to Verizon today. Pay-per-view billing required. Unlimited 5G nationwide 4G LTE. In times of congestion, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. All smartphone lines on the account must be on Welcome Unlimited and are eligible only for select promotions. Includes domestic talk, text, and data usage only. Data roaming at 2G speeds. What's the good of the day?
I'm sorry to do this because it's getting a little unsettling.
Yes.
But the Mets are occupying the good of the day again this season.
The Mets are on fire, man.
No, I'm, you know, the Mets are on fire. They won 4 of 5. They manhandled the Braves like they were a second tier team, but that's not what I'm highlighting. What I'm highlighting is a viral clip of Mets first baseman Daniel Vogelbach.
Vogelbach.
And I don't know if you saw this out there, people, but if you haven't, do yourself a favor. Just type in his name. He got his 6 foot, 270 pound frame all the way around the bags from first base. And every second of it is glorious.
That's great.
It is. I mean, he's just doing it for the big guys. He has to, he has a lot of speed, especially for someone his size.
Yeah, sure.
And
good guy, too.
Like as one reporter wrote, it was like pretty good for, I can't remember who the Braves outfielder was, shortstop, not to throw it to the catcher.
Dansby Swanson.
Dansby Swanson, thank you. That it was good of Dansby Swanson to put the ball in his pocket because there would have been a major collision at home plate.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, yeah.
You know, the likes of which we haven't seen since Pete Rose.
They are a really fun team.
They are. Really, and then now you see Edwin, is it? Yeah, Edwin Diaz.
Edwin Diaz, yeah.
That's another viral video going around. If you haven't seen his entrance, I feel like we haven't had a good entrance.
Yeah,
for a pitcher in a while.
Yeah.
And he's got his own song, Trumpets. Sounds amazing. And when he takes the field, I mean, the Mets fans go ecstatic because they know it's like, hey, it's lights out.
Yeah,
game's done. We're good in the clear.
It's really interesting. I read the New York Post every morning, and boy, there is a different feeling with this Mets team. But here's the thing. It's like if you have it's like if you have two kids and you have higher expectations for one of the kids, and then when the other kid is getting an A when you're like, he's not the smartest bulb in the pack, and you treat him a little differently than the other kid, where you're like, the other kid gets A's all the time. It's like the New York Post is treating the Yankees and the Mets like kind of two different, two different organizations.
Right.
Like the Yankees are like, well, you better be good. Look at what you have and don't go on any losing skid or like they did, where now columns are like, they're looking ordinary. This is what people worried about.
Five games in a row.
Exactly. Lost five games in a row. They got swept by the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Mets, it's like, look at what we have here. Wow. How fun is this? They've got a winning record. They're in first place. They might actually win the NL. Wow. Could they beat the Dodgers? They could beat the Dodgers. Wow. That's like they're treating them like two different expectations. So maybe kids is the wrong word. Maybe employees or something. I don't know. But when you have two different people and you sort of compare, you say, I expect one thing from one, but if I get extra bonuses from the other, I'm going to talk more highly of that. And that's kind of the feeling with the New York Post when it comes to these two teams.
But it is. So, I mean, it's
a lot of fun.
You just keep looking over like, can these guys actually do this?
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I mean, for so long, we've just been having so much fun with them. And now it's like, okay, we got to actually think about them a little more seriously.
What's really interesting is you and I have done this show for a while where we talked about like when Noah Syndergaard was on the team and Jacob DeGrom and like Mets pitchers having this problem or this issue. And Jacob DeGrom won the Cy Young, but they never gave him run support. Yeah. Like he didn't win enough games, but because the Mets bats were silent. DeGrom comes back and he takes a perfect game into the sixth inning in his second game back from a long rehab stint. 13 months he was away with that elbow issue, forearm tightness, right? Max Scherzer has been everything that they thought he was going to be. And then you've also got Carlos Carrasco is pitching well. Chris Bassett was fantastic last night. Like it's trickling through the lineup. It's really remarkable. So, yeah, the Mets are fun. Mets are fun. We'll see. I mean, I still think the Dodgers are the creme de la creme, but they're the Mets. Are,
yes,
yeah.
I do. You know what? I'm not trying to be biased, but I agree.
They are so loaded. By the way, real quick, before you get to the bat, I did want to. I forgot to bring this up to you yesterday. I saw a tweet from Bill Simmons yesterday, which just made me laugh. He commented on the video of Mookie Betts dancing in the dugout. And he said he never did that in Boston. This is the worst trade in the history of the Red Sox. I mean, even Babe Ruth, just the worst trade. I mean, I know he's exaggerating
there,
here. I know he's exaggerating, but he's doing it in a land of bitterness.
Right.
Like just a land of bitterness. Because he's watching a guy that the Red Sox should have moved heaven and earth to keep. But not only is he thriving in L.A., he's having more fun in L.A., and he's looking like a different player person than he ever was in Boston.
Well, he's looking like a team leader.
Yeah.
And that's the difference is that, you know, I don't know if he'll ever win another National League MVP or just an MVP again, but he looks like, you know, a team leader out there. It's like, guys, you know, I'm going to lead by example. And then at the same time, we're going to have fun doing it.
Yeah. It's,
That's going to be fun. The playoffs in the National League, I think, are going to be fun. The Mets are good. The Dodgers are good. That Central is interesting because the Cardinals are now on top. The Brewers have struggled. But those two teams can sneak up and be decent. The wild card teams that are coming up, the Braves are the defending champs. San Diego is loaded, loaded, loaded. I mean, this could be a fun October. All right, what is the bad of the day?
Bad of the day is unfortunate timing.
Uh-oh.
All right. Cleveland this year, the city of Cleveland, will play host to this year's National Massage Convention.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just unfortunate timing. I mean, you know these type of things. This was probably written in the books years ago.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. They they booked those things way ahead of time. But
bummer.
Do you take advantage of it while you're in Cleveland?
I don't.
Do you make a point?
Just try to keep it as quiet as possible.
There's two ways to go about it. You could just have it and get out of there. Or while you're there, you can make noise because he disrespected the profession. Like, which one would they go? I kind of think it's just better if you just go in there and get out of there.
Yeah, just go in, have your talks. I don't even know what a massage convention. I mean, you learn new techniques.
Is there new techniques? It's an ancient practice.
Yeah,
isn't it?
We've now learned to use our forearms.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Every time I've gotten a massage, I go, I'm going to do this again. This is the greatest thing in the world. And yep. They never do. I never go back.
Yeah, I did that once.
Yeah.
I got a massage once, and I was like, you know, that was actually quite nice.
I got one for Christmas. My wife gave me a gift certificate for one for Christmas for a place here in town. I finally made the appointment. My wife kept bugging me. You haven't used this. I go, finally, I'll use it. So I called over there, got an appointment. I went and had it done. Remarkable. The woman even said, she goes, you kind of need to do this more. She goes, you're just tighter than a drum. And then afterwards, I felt great. I felt awesome. I got her card. I'm like, I'm going to be booking more of these. Yeah, I yet to do it.
Yep.
So, and I feel like a couple of years will go by, and I'm like, yeah, I meant to come back, and I didn't. So, but I really should because they are great.
They are.
Great. Really great.
I have nothing but...
Nothing but positive.
Nothing but positive experience from the one massage that I had.
I just want to say that if you are a massage therapist out there, I am not saying I don't go back because I, in the end, feel like I don't need it. I'm lazy. I'm abysmally
Which is
lazy.
Odd to say for a massage.
Right.
Because it's not like you're doing anything.
Right. Exactly. Like, I just don't pick up the phone. I don't make appointments. My wife has told me many times, she goes, you need to go get this checked out. I'm like, all right, I'll call. And I never do. I'm just awful with that. It's my biggest problem. I think my wife is probably more frustrated with that with me than anything, is that I just do not. She'll say, call and make an appointment. And I go, no. And then she goes, I'll make you an appointment. She's getting tired of making my appointments because I'm just lazy. I just don't want to pick up the phone and call. That's it. But nevertheless. But yeah, what would you do? Like, what would you think they're going to do? Because you could do something. Like, you could make the press and say, we're here and we...
No, but I don't know if you do anything. I mean, I don't even know if there's a statement that needs to be made. I don't... Do you have a... You know, maybe you make a statement and say, we do have a seminar on things to watch out for, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What if they did that? Now, that's not a bad idea. What if they had a seminar where they said, hey... Be on the lookout for these kind of clients asking for these kind of things.
Right.
But maybe they do that already as part. Maybe it's just
probably. Kind of, I mean, it's probably ingrained because there is that misconception of getting the happy ending.
Yeah,
at a massage place.
Of course, because you know why? Because it feels like every time that industry's in the news, it's because of that.
Of course, that's the only time it's in the news.
The only time it's in the news. Nobody's ever like, and this company, this massage company is. Now going public on the New York Stock Exchange.
Because very rarely do you even see a commercial for a massage place.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you see it from time to time, you know, one of the chain massage parlors, but, you know, I wouldn't know.
And
the only time it ever comes up is when we're talking bad things.
And it's got to be really hard for those in the business who studied everything. It's not just rubbing out. You got to learn anatomy and a lot of the difficult medical stuff that comes with that. And you work your tail off and you memorize things and you have to get licensed and you have to pass a board and all that stuff. And then you get it. And the industry's been tainted by stories like Deshaun Watson and Robert Kraft where, that's what... I would be insulted. It would drive me crazy if I was in that industry. So I don't know. I think in Cleveland it's precarious. It's almost football season and people are weird around football.
I think
it's not to excuse it, but people get weird.
Yep. But I just had to bring it up because if this was in any other town, we never would even be talking about it. But since it's in Cleveland, that's kind
of
funny.
All right. What's the dumb of the day?
Dumb of the day is new net small forward Royce O'Neal.
Yeah.
He was doing a summer camp and decided to put a spin move on his mother that sent his mom to the floor.
Uh-oh.
So the only thing I could think of is that Thanksgiving this year is going to be awkward at the O'Neal house.
What you thinking, Royce O'Neal?
And when I say a spin move sending her to the floor, she went stumbling, could not catch her balance.
Oh, good Lord.
Landed on her backside. And Royce O'Neal paused, looked at his mom. You know, I thought for a second he was going to go over and give her a hand, but you know what? Nah, I got to take the shot first and took the shot.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, never a good thing to do to dear old mom.
No. Absolutely not. Good Lord, man.
Yeah, it's funny, though.
Yeah. All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb again, brought to you by Verizon. Again, Atlanta Falcons on the clock. D. Orlando Ledbetter is going to join us in 15 minutes. We'll get his take on what the world is going on down at Flowery Branch, Georgia, as we continue its wake-up call.
Wake-up call with Tony D. and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we got a D Orlando Ledbetter coming up, and he's another one. We have done this show for 4 years, and I feel like we got some friends around the country.
Yeah,
And D Orlando Ledbetter is one of them. We've talked to him for a long time about Atlanta Falcons. He's our go to guy with Atlanta Falcons sports,
And he's the best. He's the best to go to.
He comes excited. He's very energized in the morning.
Loves his team.
That's the other thing. It's not like he's like, you know, this is the team I cover because my career sort of lent it, you know, bounced me. He really genuinely loves the Falcons and loves covering them. So we're going to have him on in about 10 minutes. We were talking a little baseball earlier. I had to look it up because we were talking about the Mets. And I was like, I know the Mets are on some sort of run. And I did look it up. They've won 13 of their last 15 games.
Yeah, I'm excited for him, but yet it's a little unsettling.
Sure. I mean,
yeah, I don't know if I'm ready for this.
But the other thing, the Atlanta Braves, they arrived in New York and they were hot too. The Braves were winning some games, and they were right on the heels of the Mets, trying to catch up, trying to make that race a little tighter. And here we are now, and the Braves are 7 games behind the Mets in the division. They were like, I think 3 heading into that series. There was a 5-game series, and that was it. They lost 4 of 5. And now the Mets win last night, and the Braves are off, and now it's a 7-game gap between them and the Atlanta Braves. They have 71 wins on the season. That's as good as the Yankees. That is just a few games less than the Dodgers. But I do think the Dodgers are the best team in the NL. But I think if you're a Mets fan, this is what you've been looking at this young talent for a long time and the acquisitions trying to make that work. Francisco Lindor, but guys like Starling Marte, he had a home run last night. Chris Bassett was great through 8 innings. Max Scherzer was a big deal signee that, of course, worked out, right? I mean, and then now you add Jacob deGrom to the rotation. So a lot to look for, a lot to like. Even though Steve Lyons was on our show and he didn't put a lot of emphasis on the Buck Showalter effect. I don't know if Buck Showalter has anything to do with it. I mean, I'm kind of leaning a little bit his way, but maybe a different voice is what they needed. You know, maybe that's the case. We talk about this with the Astros. You know, the Astros lost AJ Hinch, but Dusty Baker seems to be the right guy to kind of come in there and go, all right, yeah, but we're not missing a beat here, right? We're not going to lose it because we went through this controversy. A kind of a more calming voice, a more calming presence that sort of keeps everything in check. Maybe that's what Buck Showalter brings. But I'll be honest with you. Buck Showalter, when he was in Baltimore, I know that they went, I think they went to the playoffs a couple of years ago. They played Toronto, I think. But I don't remember a lot of his Baltimore career. I know he was the Yankees manager in the 90s. I know he was the first manager for the Arizona Diamondbacks when they became an expansion team in the 90s. But it was Bob Brenly that led them to the World Series. So, you know, this might be a spot where he found all the talent and just kind of knows how to kind of weave it in together to be a good team. But I just think we were just talking about the fall, right? So you and I were discussing how great the fall is. And I do love October. I love the football, baseball season coming together. I love those nights where I'm driving around town and I'm just like, hey, I'm coming back from a dinner or something and I've got the baseball games on and just the feeling of the postseason. And I think the National League could have a really fun postseason. I think the American League, I'll be dead honest with you. The American League doesn't excite me because I think that it should just be Yankees, Astros, and everybody else just get the hell out of the way. All right. I'm sorry if you're a Minnesota fan or a Cleveland fan, Toronto fan, Orioles fan. Thanks, Robert, by the way, for a reminder that the Orioles are on a roll. I don't care. I don't care. What I want to see in the American League is Houston, Yankees. Those teams have a history now. It's not a rivalry like the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry, but in terms of like recent rivalry, if that's a term, where things have happened between the two organizations that have caused us to want to see it now, that's what I want to see, okay? Again, fun story, Cleveland. Fun story, Toronto. Fun story, Baltimore. But if the American League Championship Series is not Yankees-Houston, I'm going to be massively disappointed. But I will say in the National League, and I know you're different because you're a Dodger fan, I don't have a dog in any fight in the National League. You've got the Mets. You've got the defending champion Atlanta Braves. You've got the Milwaukee-St. Louis battle that's going to go on to looks like to the very end in the NL Central. You've got San Diego, which, again, just got swept by the Dodgers, but you don't know what kind of team they'll have in October when everything really starts blending together and Fernando Tatis comes back and whatnot. You've got the Dodgers that are just red hot, beating everybody they play. I think they've won 8 in a row or 7 in a row at this point. They're going... they have a series coming up tonight, but there's a lot of variables in the National League that I think could make this really, really fun and could be a really fun wild card, could be a fun playoff. I think if you're the Mets and the Dodgers, be really careful who's below you and coming up because you never know where you might get snuck up on and be part of a series that gets a little tighter. Again, the American League, it's Yankees, Astros, or nothing for me. In the National League, if you gave me Mets, Padres, if you gave me Dodgers, Braves, if you gave me St. Louis Braves, if you gave me St. Louis Dodgers, St. Louis Padres, I'm in. I know you're different because you're a Dodger fan, but that to me is a more fun league than what the American League is.
No, I mean, it kind of reminds me of what the AFC and NFC have right now.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
the NFC, we know it's down to maybe 2-3 teams, and that's it. That's the AFC, take your pick.
Yeah.
And that's where, I mean, I'm agreeing with you. In the American League, Yankees, Astros. I don't know who else is really competing.
You might have
a surprise team that gets hot late, but that's not what you want. You want the Yankees or the Astros. You want them in the ALCS.
Okay, imagine if you had the, let's say, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers in the NFC, and they were both having phenomenal years, right? Kind of like what they did last year, right? They were having phenomenal years.
And the year before that.
All right. But never, and the teams were rolling along. I mean, we weren't talking 12-5. We were talking like 14-3, and they were really cruising.
Good math, by the way. I know that was difficult.
I know it's really difficult, but you were like those two teams, boy, I really want to see those two teams in the NFC championship game. And then the NFC championship comes around and you get Philadelphia, San Francisco. And you're like, how did that happen? And you're like, well, the Buccaneers lost, were surprisingly upset in their first round game. And the Packers lost at home to the 49ers, whatever it may be. But you would go, oh man, that's the way I feel about the American League.
Yeah.
These are fun stories. Don't get me wrong. It's fun to see the Orioles, who have been in the basement for so many years, climb up. But they're not a World Series level team yet.
You look at the Blue Jays. I love the young, exciting team. That's the Blue Jays. But no, I don't want to see them there.
Take two teams that hate the hell out of each other and put them in the American League Championship Series. But in the National League, each one of those teams that I mentioned has got a little interesting story, a little interesting couple of things that make them good. And I think that's more of a fun league. All right. Speaking of fun, are the Atlanta Falcons having any fun at Flowery Branch? We'll ask D. Orlando Ledbetter next as we continue.
You're listening. listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Continuing previews in the NFC South this week. We did Tampa Bay yesterday. Let's go to Atlanta, where the Falcons are now on our clock today. Atlanta going in with a new quarterback as Matt Ryan has been shipped to Indianapolis. And some other questions about this team and where they're heading in 2022. And we couldn't think of anybody better to get than D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. How are you, my friend? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Tony D. Thanks for having me.
Always, my friend. Always. All right, so let's talk about this offseason. Calvin Ridley's been suspended. They went after Deshaun Watson. They did not get him. Instead, they trade Matt Ryan. This team, how would you classify the offseason? Was it blunders? Was it mistakes, the way they handled the Deshaun Watson thing? Or was it something they just had to do?
No, it was it's a teardown here in Atlanta. It wasn't necessarily something they had to do now, but they were going to have to move on from Matt Ryan at some point. Maybe some thought they should have did it last year when they were sitting at number four and ended up with the pick of, they could have picked Justin Fields right there or Mac Jones. So maybe, doing it a year later when you don't really have a better option, you got to go after Deshaun, who they knew as a former ball boy, didn't seem like the right move. But now they're in a rebuilding mode.
Was it how controversial would it have been in Atlanta with Deshaun Watson? You mentioned he was a local guy, but this is a team that also went through the Michael Vick situation years and years ago. So they know quarterbacks that come in with a certain public perception. Was that something that they were willing to deal with? Obviously they were, if they were going to get him, but how was the organization and the fans in that time, how were they treating the idea of Deshaun Watson coming to play for the Falcons?
Well, it was mixed bag, the owner, but, talking to him, he felt that, even with Vick's situation, folks have, come around, after he paid his debt to society and so forth, that they hadn't done, at least in, publicly done their due diligence on the severity or the vastness of Deshaun's problem. They knew him as a young man, knew their family. Knew him at Clemson, but clearly hadn't got to his adult life yet, when going after him and so forth. So, Deshaun grew up here in Gainesville, 10 miles away, was a ball boy for the Falcons. His mom, a single parent, was a benefactor of the Warwick Dunn Foundation that built houses for single parents. So, there was enough good for them there to weigh that in his favor. But, they clearly hadn't done their homework on the vastness of the cases and his situation in Houston.
All right, so now Marcus Mariota has arrived. They did draft Desmond Ridder. Arthur Smith, has he already named Marcus Mariota the starter, or is there still a little battle going on there?
Not much of a battle. He hasn't named him, but he's the starter going in. He's number one. He's been getting all the reps. He's been getting work with the first team all throughout camp. I don't see anything to suggest that Ritter's going to start, but they do want Ritter to be able to play if things go sideways with Marcus, which they have at every season that he's played.
So what is there to offensively? Let's get to the offensive side. Cordell Patterson had a good season. What did you make of Kyle Pitts? What is there to look forward to offensively with this team?
Well, Kyle Pitts is just looking like a very special player who knows what he's doing now. He's not just out there running around. So he's going to be open, or he's going to be drawing defense to him at the very minimum. Now, the question is, hey, can they get him the ball?
Yeah.
That's the issue with that. So to be able to get him the ball, they're going to have to come up with a rushing attack from somewhere. They were 31st in the league last year. Mariota and Ridder could run a little bit, but not enough to offset. They're not like Jalen Hurts or anybody or Lamar. So the running backs, Cordarrelle Patterson, the kid they drafted, Tyler Allgeier, Damian Williams, the veteran, third down back, they're going to have to somehow make defenses honor that run attack so they could play action and get the ball to Kyle Pitts.
So what does the suspension of Calvin Ridley do for this offense? Who has to step up in that role?
It's got to be a combination of guys. They want Drake London, who was the number 8th overall pick, to come in and have an impact as a rookie. And they also traded for Brian Edwards, who was a high pick for the Raiders out of South Carolina. So he's looked pretty good in camp. Doesn't look like a Julio or Ridley-type receiver, but a solid NFL guy that you'll hurt you if he can get open and so forth. So the high guy, the high-end guy is Drake London. Of course, he's a rookie, and we know that sometimes that's not very plausible for the rookie to come in and shine right away. But that's where they're at here in Atlanta with the Ridley suspension. They need Drake London to step forward and be a stud right off of the bat.
So let's talk about the rebuilding situation here. I get it. Marcus Mariota is probably not the long-term answer here, and they'll probably find a quarterback later on. So that's obviously the key. But do you feel like there's pieces in place where once you get that, this is not a bad offense?
No, Tony, they've got to do a better job in the trenches. The previous administration did not, you know, they were unloading first round, they were, you know, drafting first rounder after first rounder, and, you know, some of those guys can't play. So the team has got to be built inside out. And moving forward, they have to come up with linemen. And they said, hey, we don't necessarily have to find the linemen in the first round. You got to find them wherever you can. So as soon as they can put a line together that can push some people around, open up some holes, protect the quarterback, those little basic fundamental things, you know, they're going to be rebuilding. They want to do it like the Chiefs. The Chiefs built the team out and then dropped Mahomes in there after he set for a year. But when he was ready to play, they already had a championship-level team built around him, and that was done through the trenches.
So what went wrong in the like, I want a larger picture here, because Ron and I have discussed this many times with this team, and we get it. There are teams that make runs to a Super Bowl, and then they kind of disappear, and you go, okay, they had a good moment. But the Falcons seem different. Even losing to the Patriots, they felt like there was a really good team around them. Was it injuries? Was it bad personnel choices? Was it bad coaching? What happened to this organization that they couldn't sustain a level of success, where they couldn't go, let's just get right back to the Super Bowl and try to win this thing?
Yeah, all of the above. And they did get right back. The next year, they're on the one-yard line in Philadelphia to win the game. And Steve Sarkisian can't get the ball across. So they lose to the Eagles and Foles in a game they're favored in. And, you know, heck, if they beat the Eagles, maybe they go get that Super Bowl title and not the Eagles. So they didn't just fall off the face of the earth. They came back and had one good year. They had 7 starters in their first and second year on that Super Bowl defense, which was ranked 27th. It was the lowest-ranked defense to ever play in the Super Bowl. So then come 18, the injury started them out. Bad draft picks, Duke Riley in the second round, Jalen Collins in the second round, you know, and then, you know, you have the injuries and poor drafting, combination with, you know, the shuffling of the coaching staff. He could never seem to settle on a defensive coordinator. Marquand Manuel was the coordinator in 17 when they were top 10 defense. Why did he go? He should have still been there. For 18. So, you know, you got coaching, bad drafting, injuries to Ricardo Allen and Keanu Neal, season ending injuries, to Deion Jones in 18. So it was a combination of that, and all you got to do is really go look at the draft in 17, 18, and 19, and, you know, see the lack of players that they picked in those drafts. And that was the reason why after 17, they fell off of the map.
D. Orlando Ledbetter joining us from Atlanta on the Falcons from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Defensively, are there any pieces there that to look forward to? Is there, what's their situation on that side of the ball?
Yeah, that's some optimism over there. You got Grady Jarrett up front, of course. You got A.J. Terrell at cornerback. You got a couple young safeties that look pretty good, Richie Grant and Jalen Hawkins. The linebacking core is being retooled. You signed Lorenzo Carter from the Giants. You got Rashawn Evans from Tennessee. Both of those guys are on 1 year, make good deals. Deion's out right now with a shoulder surgery, Deion Jones. And then on the outside, they drafted some young guys over the last few years. Audie Ogundeje from Notre Dame played a lot last year, but only had one sack. And then this year they drafted D'Angelo Malone from Western Kentucky and Arnold Ebikute from Penn State. So they've got three young outside rushers that they're hoping to find their way to the quarterback, because that's been a problem here in Atlanta since the retirement of the great John Abraham.
Final question for you, my friend, and with all of these, the future of this team and where it is today and what it wants to be, do you think this is one of those teams that is, as it's rebuilding, is a tough out week in and week out, competitive? Like, hey, you know, the Falcons may not win a lot of games, but my God, they'll make you work for it. Or is this a team with a lot of flaws?
Yeah, I think they're going to play hard. They played hard last year for Coach. They outperformed their status. I mean, they were the second-place team in point differential at 146, but somehow won seven games. So I'm expecting a little bit more of that. But the schedule is much more daunting this year. They don't have the lower level teams that they played last year. So it's going to be a little tough for sledding, but they're going to play tough. They played real tough last year. And, they're going to try to go toe-to-toe with some folks. But when they did that last year against Tom Brady and the Buffalo Bills and teams like that, you know, they lasted for, you know, a couple quarters, maybe into the third. And then, you know, the Buffalo Bills or the Bucks took over late. So, they got to close the gap on those teams, and they clearly don't have the talent yet to stand toe-to-toe. We're going to see that in week two when they go to L.A. to play the Rams. They should be okay against the Saints. They always fight them. And then in Seattle, that should be an even match. And, then I think they got Cleveland and then Tampa Bay. Cleveland without Deshaun, so maybe they can handle that. But it's going to be a tough team that'll fight just undermanned. And that's going to show over the course of the campaign.
Always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you for making time with us this morning. And thank you for making time with us when we need you. Thanks so much.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for having me.
You got it. D. Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution on the Falcons. Could be a team that, you know, plays a little better than you think. But, again, still a team that knows exactly where it wants to utilize this season. A lot of young talent on this team. Like we said, there's Cordell Patterson and Kyle Pitts on the offensive side of the ball. Yep, there is no Calvin Ridley on that side of the ball. And there's some, again, Grady Jarrett on the defensive side. But every team's got some young players. Every team's got some bright spots. You've got to put it together. And I don't know how many times the Falcons are going to be able to put it together for a win. But, again, they know that down the road is where they want to be, and where they want to be is not today. All right, we'll continue along. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, and it's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as we wrap up this hour, thanks to D. Orlando Ledbetter on the Atlanta Falcons. You see the energy. You hear the energy, man. He's great. Too bad his team is not going to be that good. Well, just...
What if they are? What if they surprise?
Well, that would be fun, wouldn't it? What if Marcus Mariota has that second act?
Yeah, or finds that connection with one of his weapons?
What if he's Ryan Tannehill 2.0?
Yeah.
Where Tannehill got to Tennessee and was like, this guy? Ugh. And next thing you know, he's a Pro Bowler, leading him to the playoffs, 12 wins. What if Mariota does that? What if Mariota's like, yeah, I just needed a second chance. I knew I wasn't going to be the starter in Las Vegas, so I went to Vegas, chilled out a little bit, worked with the
practice my head
team,
straight.
You know, got my head straight. Now I'm ready to lead a team again. Yeah, that could happen. What if that happened? Because like he said, there's a lot of talent, but who gets them the ball? What if Marcus Mariota can get them the ball? Oh, you're right. You're right. It might be interesting. I don't know. That division could be too tough, though. Saints and the Buccaneers. Although the Saints, I'm really curious about Dennis Allen, because he's another one that was a coach at one point, coached the Raiders. And now getting a second chance to be a head coach in this league. But when you take over for a coach that's been there for a long time, there's a lot of ingrained stuff that you're going to have to either A, continue to do, or you have to make so much radical changes that it does affect the team in some way. Sometimes you just go, no, Sean did it this way, we'll continue to do it this way, or Sean structured this, and I know a lot of you guys have been around a long time, you're kind of used to this, we'll keep it. But a lot of coaches are like, no, I'm stripping it all down. We're doing it the way I do it. And then sometimes that can be that can actually work against you. We'll see. Now, if you're doing it with a coach that's been there 5 minutes and it's no big deal. Like, I'm sure Cleveland Brown coaches never went in and went, oh, God, what did Pat Shurmur do for the 10 minutes that he was here? We better keep that in place. Or Chudinski, Kevin Chudinski? What was his name? Lasted, what, eight games or whatever it was? No. Let's chill out for a second. Let's relax. I mean, Eric Mangini didn't even last that long while he was in Cleveland. So I'm sure nobody, you know, Kevin Stefanski, when he got that job, was like, whoa, I know you guys are used to this system. But Sean Payton was there since 2006. I mean, Jim Haslett was the coach of the Saints that year that they were fighting. Remember they were the year of Hurricane Katrina, and they were doing things in parking lots and, you know, playing, you know, practicing in like San Antonio, whatever. Then Sean Payton came in, brought Drew Brees, and then they won, they went on to win a Super Bowl a couple years later. That's a long time to have one guy in the office doing it his way. And if you replace him, you got some choices to make. All right, hour three coming up next as we continue. A little bit more on the college football coaches poll that was released yesterday. Some nuggets about that.